true-hearted, whole-hearted, faithful and loyal, King of our lives, by thy grace we will be. Under the standard exalted and royal, strong in thy strength, we will battle for thee. Peal out the watchword, silence endeavor, song of our spirit, rejoicing and free. Peal out the watchword, loyal forever, King of our lives, by thy grace we will be. True-hearted, whole-hearted, fullest allegiance, yielding henceforth to our glorious King. Valiant endeavor and loving obedience, freely and joyously now would we bring. Peal out the watchword, silence endeavor, song of our spirits rejoicing and free. Peal out the watchword, loyal forever, King of our lives, by thy grace we would be. True-hearted, whole-hearted, Savior, O glorious, take thy great power and reign there alone. Over our wills and affections victorious, freely surrendered and wholly thine own. Peal out the watchword, silence endeavor, song of our spirits rejoicing and free. Peal out the watchword, loyal forever, King of our lives, by thy grace we would be.
Amen. Thank you, guys. What a blessing it is. Young men singing God's praises. Colossians chapter 1, if you would turn there. Colossians chapter 1 this morning is where we're going to be at. As I warned you, it's going to be simple, but it will be profound if you allow it. And so don't let the simplicity pass you. Colossians chapter 1, if you would. Colossians chapter 1. Before I give you the verse, I'll give you just a little bit of an illustration. Colossians chapter 1, and then you can look up this way. I grew up going to a camp similar to Servant's Heart Camp. Not the same, but a camp in the mountains of Wyoming. And I went there for many, many years of my life. One of the things that we would do as staff in staff training, and then we would allow some of the campers to go out and do this. I've given you this illustration before in the past, but we would do what we call a trust fall. Okay, out on this camp property, it was a big camp property, but it was out in the open national forests, and so you could go as long and as far as you wanted, really. And there was a place that was, I don't even know, maybe a mile from the camp property line, that was a place we called the Big Rock. And this rock was really big. I can't remember how there's bigger rocks for sure, but this rock was it was a rounded rock, but on one side it was very flat. The face of this one side was flat. And as a training thing, we would do what we call a trust fall. And so we did it as staff, and then we did it for the campers as well. You'd have to go up to the, climb up around the backside of the big rock. And then you would have to, the rest of the staff would be down underneath, and they would kind of lock arms. And there would be many of them on either side would lock arms and form sort of a web that the person on top was supposed to turn around, and specific instructions, and by trust fall back down below into the staff's arms, okay? I was one that would certainly be after the other staff and the other campers, like, you got to do this, you got to do this. And I believed in it. I believed that we would catch, you know, you tell her, come on, we're going to catch you, you know. And down below, I felt very confident with catching. Notice I said down below, I felt very confident with catching. And there were several of us, and we could catch, and we would never let anybody fall. And of course, there were certain instructions, don't ball up like a cannonball when you fall back, because then you're going to go into one person's arms instead of many people's arms. But it was a trust fall. And so staff would get up there, and you know, there were some personalities that would go up there, look back, and go. And then there were other personalities like mine that would go up there and look back and stand here and think about what you want in your, you know, in your eulogy, and think about, you know, what happens if so and so doesn't catch me, and what am I going to do if I miss, and all this stuff, and then I would look back again, and I would think through a little bit more, and maybe start praying a little bit, and then look back again. And anyway, I believed in it from the ground, but when I got up top, I did not believe in it. And I demonstrated that I didn't believe in it because I struggled. Now, eventually, I did, in a very simplistic way, believe in it because I did it. But it's easy to tell other people to do something. It's easy to be on underneath and say, well, listen, I'll catch you. It's easy to do that, but it's another thing to put yourself on the line and to actually do it. And I know some of you are thinking, what a dangerous thing to do. It actually was fairly safe the way we did it. And I don't know that anybody was ever dropped, but it was something, nevertheless, that we did, and it did require lots of trust to do it. Kids, I'm not encouraging you to go home to do it on top of your house, okay? But it's something that we did. I don't even know if you can do that anymore with all kinds of insurance things, but that's what we used to do. The fact of the matter is we can say that we believe certain things, but until we demonstrate it, it's another situation. We have to demonstrate. That's part of what it means to believe. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17. It's a very small verse. The verse says, and he is before all things. And by him, all things consist. And he is before all things. And by him, all things consist. First of all, let me ask you the question, who is he? You have to go back. Who is he? We are speaking of who? We're speaking of Jesus Christ. In fact, you go back to verse 13. Notice in verse 13, and well, verse 12 is even speaking of the Father, who, the Father, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And it's here that this dear Son is going to be being spoken of, in whom we have redemption, in verse 14. Who is the image of the invisible God, verse 15. For by him, in verse 16, and then in verse 17, and he is before all things. So we're speaking of Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at this phrase, and he is before all things, honestly, the word before literally means before. There's nothing special. You know, we like to do word studies and we go and we see this word really means this. And I love to do word studies. They're helpful. But a word study on the word before, the English word before here, is going to tell you that this word is just really before. He is before. But in context, what is this before? He says he's before all things, so I want to encourage you, go back a verse or two and look. Go ahead. Take the time to do that. What's the subject matter of Jesus Christ? What had been accomplished by Jesus Christ that helps us to understand that he is before all things? All things that what? Were created. By the way, that's a good point that we need to understand for those people in our lives that don't, that put Jesus into the creation. There are some people out there that go to different kind of churches that believe different things, and I would say that they're cults because they don't believe that Jesus is God. And what they are saying here, what they will say is that Jesus was a created being. But this verse tells us that he is before all things, and all things in this verse is referring to the created universe. He was before the creation. He was before. He existed beforehand. Well, we understand that because he is God. And so he was before the creation. You look back in verse 16 and we're seeing the creation. He was the firstborn. And verse 16, for by him were all things created. All things were created. In verse 17, and he is before all things, the all things are referring to the things that were created. Jesus Christ was before them. He's before his creation. What is implied here, and that we're going to look at, two important things in verse 17. The first one is what comes from verse 16, and that is the fact that he is the creator of all things. He was not the creation, he is the creator. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ is not the creation, he is the creator. He was before all things. He always has been, always will be. Jesus, the Creator. And he is before all things. So he, Jesus, is the creator of all things. Now I want you to think, I told you this is very simple. This is a challenge that I could give a message to children and would be able to understand. So my question is what has God created? It says that he's created all things. Here we're looking at all kinds of individual things or objects that God has created. I open it up to you now. What are some of the things that God has created? Name me a creation. And when you do, don't tell me a compilation of creation, but like individual things. What has God created? He's created the sun, right? And I want you to think just for a moment, how difficult would it be to create a sun? What do you think? Easy or difficult? If I gave you a task for next week and say, okay, I want you folks to go out, we're supposed to be like God, I want you to create a sun. Would we be able to do that? Okay, I think the children would understand, no, we couldn't do that. I could give you all the materials I could possibly give, and I could not create a sun, okay? So that was a good one. God created the sun. Pat, you were the one that mentioned that. Do you take that as fact? I mean, do you wake up in the morning and worry about that? Not really. I mean, I don't wake up in the morning and worry like, did he really make that? Does it really exist? Is it gonna come up today? We don't really think or worry about that, do we? Somebody tell me, what's something else that God has created? Jesus has created. He's created gravity, you know. Let me ask Pastor Dan, do you wake up every morning with a tether to your bed, you know, so that you don't like just float up? Do you do that? Do you trust gravity every day? Okay, so you believe in gravity. Okay, you believe that gravity exists, and you don't wake up every day carrying, you know, a barbell or a dumbbell, you know, through your day so that you don't float up, right? Okay, he takes that. He takes that in truth. What else? Now you're scared to say anything because you know I'm going to pick on you and ask you a dumb question. Ken's not scared. You. Me. I wasn't prepared for that one. I don't know if I want to ask you, do you really believe that he created me? Well, do you? Do you believe that he created me?
Amen. Okay. Well, that was a good positive thing. Not many people say amen to that about their pastor, but okay, God did create me. Well, I don't think there's any joke. You're listening to me talk right now. You see me. I'm not an imagination. God created me. Did you wake up this morning? You might have worried if I would show up today because I've been gone, but did you wake up thinking that I just might not be in existence today? Probably not. I would submit to you that we take creation very literally. We take it as truth and we don't really worry about his creation. Let me get a few more things. What else do you believe? Yes, sir. The air we breathe, okay? Important. Super important, the air that we breathe, okay? Did you last night secure lots of oxygen and whatever it takes to breathe? You know, did you secure that so you could hook yourself up to a mask, you know, so you could survive today? Did you do that last night? Probably not. You woke up and you assumed that there would be breath today and there would be that breath so that you could survive. And we take a lot of these things very much for granted, don't we? That's not the point, but we take it for granted. But we really trust that God did that. I don't know that any of us, you know, woke up this or laid awake last night very troubled, wondering, did God really give us the oxygen? I really wonder if it's a scam. It wasn't God. That would be conspiracy theorists to the fullness, you know. I don't know that any of the conspiracy theorists are questioning, oh, did we really get that oxygen, you know, from, now they might not attribute it to God, but I don't think that any of you have a problem understanding that God gave you that oxygen to breathe. You take it, and you, when you woke up this morning, you didn't think, oh, it's there. We just woke up and it was there. And I will say, shouldn't we be thankful for the things that God does give us, though? God has created. And what you have mentioned is let's get out into nature. What else? I mean, and I understand the air, but the trees. We live in Pennsylvania, right? The state of just trees. There's trees everywhere. And are we thankful for the trees? We're thankful for the mountains, thankful for the birds that sing in the mornings. I love that. Wake up. I love to wake up early. Some of you are not morning people. One of my favorite times is early in the morning, and the birds are singing and chirping, unless it's raining. But the birds are singing, and what a beautiful time that is. And to creation. But have you ever taken time to think about creation itself? If I were to ask you to go out and to create a Tweety bird, what would you do? Would it be a poor show of a Tweety bird if I gave you some materials? Probably so. None of us have this creative power to make a bird that flies and chirps and finds worms. Have you ever taken the time to think about, you know, on vacation, I told you I've been thinking about this quite a bit, but the grass that we grow, and some of you guys, you know, like, I gotta mow again. Some of you ladies gotta mow, you know, gotta mow again. And this grows. But ever, you know, we take for granted for sure a blade of grass, don't we? If I were to ask you and commission you to go out to make a blade of grass, what would you do? What would you do? A blade of grass that could be cut down and within a couple days is back again and is green. And that soaks up water and all the other things and properties that it has. The fact of the matter is it would be declared what? Impossible. We can't do that. And as much as man, and it blows my mind how much man has come up to do. Isn't it amazing what man can do today? But can I tell you, folks, without God's hand, man could not do any of these things. And yet, with all that God has allowed mankind to do, it doesn't come close to the things that we look at every day and take them for granted. We could talk more about the trees. We could talk about the human body, the individual parts of the human body. And I can't even come close to thinking about the complexity of a cell. Right? And how it works and how it's beyond me. How these small things even exist, and how we're talking about the creation, the individual things that God created. So my question to you is, would it be a big thing to create something like we just mentioned? Is creation big? To be able to create, is it big? Absolutely. We don't have that ability at all to create like Christ did. Creation involves a number of things that I want you to think of. I want you to think this morning. Creation involves will. A decision to do. Creation involves a plan. Think about the plan. Now, don't get any further than just the creation. Just there it is. It's not doing anything yet. It's just there. It exists. But doesn't creation involve amazing planning? Just to make it. And what is there physically? Creation involves will, it involves plan. Creation involves thought and understanding about things. It has to involve that. Creation involves design. Plan, design, very similar, but designed so that it's designed perfectly. Creation involves power. Power. Strength to be able to produce this. These are all things that we don't really understand because we're not creators this way. Creation involves ability. I don't have the ability to, we don't have the ability, but the Creator did. And I want you to think about the creation. And here's my overall question as we look at creation. I've not told you anything new, I don't think. Do we doubt that God created all things? Now, I understand in a group of people, I could get people that don't believe this. There's a lot of people that don't believe in God's creative ability and power. And they would attribute the existence to something or someone other than God. So I understand that I could ask that and somebody could raise their hand. I don't believe that. I hope and trust as you read your scripture that you understand that God is a creator. Now, and that is not the point of this morning, but I think that I'm speaking to a group of people that would altogether say, yes, I trust that God, that Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. Okay, of the people that are sitting here this morning that understand and believe that God is the creator, do you struggle worrying that creation is going to exist on a daily basis? I kind of already started those questions. Do you have a problem believing that you're going to have that cell inside, that you're going to have that eye, that you're going to... Now again, we could be afraid that we're going to lose something. If health concern, we might lose health. I'm not asking that. Do you battle... One who has already placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, do you battle on a daily basis believing God for the existence of creation? I'm asking you, do you? Looking around. I don't really think that you do. I don't know if there's anybody that struggles with believing verse 16, for by him all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities and powers, all things were created by him and for him. You know, we typically as Christians, as believers, we don't wake up and worry and have doubts over creation. Are you with me where I'm going? Not where I'm going. You don't know where I'm going. Do we typically don't have, you know, I don't typically counsel an individual that is saying, when I wake up in the morning, I have doubts over creation. I don't know that it really exists. I don't know, and even who did it. We believe that God did that. And so as believers, you're probably not struggling with creation. Am I right? Okay, well, that's good. That's a good answer. I'm glad you're not. I was a little bit scared to ask these questions because I don't know who's going to say what, but I hope you don't doubt and worry and fear about the creation on a daily basis. It's just something that a believer doesn't battle, and I'm glad that I don't. I'm really glad that I know I can count on the creation to exist. It's just that's the way God does it. But the fact of the matter is that none of us were there at creation time. Right? Looking around. So how do you know? Now you already know the answer. We accept it by faith. Oh, you do. You accept it by faith. You accept, you know, we accept a lot of things by faith, don't we? Some of us accepted a lot of things by faith reading our textbooks in school. That used to be a safe thing. It's not so safe anymore. This is a side note. But I just read on some conservative news, was just reading the infiltration of the liberal movements in the thinking of children. There was a textbook, I think it was in the state of Connecticut. I think they produced a textbook that was a story, and I'm not trying to offend anyone, I hope I'm not, but I think I have biblical authority to be able to share this. In a textbook in one of those states, I think it was in Connecticut, there's a story of this young Palestinian child. And this is a fictional story that is in their textbook, and this child named, I can't remember what they were, a Palestinian name, they are teaching them that they are so sad because everything that's theirs is being taken away, and that the mean Jewish people are out to get them like wolves and to destroy them. And furthermore, the story, this is in a textbook that's in the public schools, that furthermore, they were training those children to grow up and hate and kill Jewish people. Now, I know that this is a side note, but this is in our textbooks in America now. It's starting. Dangerous. It's amazing. That's why we've got to preach and teach truth to people. And this wasn't given for a hobby horse on the issues going on in the Middle East right now. I'm just telling you, we generally, and this is a scary thing, is we took the things that we read in our textbooks as fact, didn't we? I wasn't there when Paul Revere wrote, but I take it by fact because that's what the book tells me. That's why it is scary of what they're putting in the textbook today, because people are going to take it as fact. Kids are going to take that as fact. That's why we have to give the truth, folks. We've got to give the truth. But coming back to this, we accept much by faith, don't we? We accept a lot by faith. But folks, there's evidence of creation, and we, by faith, take creation. We see it, right? We see it. I praise the Lord that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. In the past, we've already looked at the general revelation. We've looked at special revelation, which consists of the Word of God. We've looked at the revelation through Jesus Christ, declaring the Father through the Son. And even a couple years ago, we looked at the fact that as Christians, we are demonstrating God to the world through our love, like the song we just sang, right? That's how, you know, no man has seen God at any time, but they have us to look at and how we love. And so we're a fourth element that we have to the world. And yet, the world, we have to take the facts that God, that Jesus Christ created. But I don't think that any of you are struggling with that on a daily basis about creation because you take it by faith. And can I say this? In one verse, God, or in a couple of verses, God tells us, specifically we're looking at verse 17 this morning, in a verse, we take by fact that he is before all things. He's the creator, right? And we don't struggle with that. So we trust that God or Jesus was fully capable of a perfect creation. It's not all that the verse says, though. And he is before all things established. We've got it. You're feeling good. We go home, didn't get my toes stepped on today. Because we believe that he is the creator. But the second part of the verse is another situation. And by him all things consist. What does the word consist mean? The word consist literally is this. Get this. The word consist that's used here is taking individual elements and joining them to work together. What happened in creation? God created things, didn't he? But God didn't just create and step back. God creates, and if I could say it this way, he consists. That's what that means is he placed those elements to work together with each other in a very systematic way. Now I want to tell you, creation is amazing. I don't understand. I cannot create, and it blows my mind how things were just created and boom, there they are. I don't have any concept of creation. But can I tell you, I have no concept of consisting. How you would take that creation, that was hard enough. But then make it work with other parts of creation together? I could not create a pancreas. But I cannot tell you how it works with other parts of my body. I just can't even comprehend that. And how our bodies work together, that I can wake up in the morning and not do anything to make my eyes work and make, you know, the food that I eat translate into the blood sugars and the things that, you know, and get it to the, that's beyond me. All of it's beyond me. But you understand here, that's a big deal. Really, this idea of consist, we like to say, use words like maintenance and just keeps it going and works together, and that's what it is. We got all kinds of individual things that God created in those 6 days, right? He created it all in 6 days. And then it begins to work together, just everything. A tree, a blade of grass. Go back to that topic again. All those things. How does it work with everything else? Right? I hope you're following. How does it work with everything else? Again, to create a blade of grass that is green and it can be mowed and it can grow again. I don't get it. and how it can suck up the water from the ground. It just, and season after season, it can grow, and it can, during the winter it doesn't, then dormant, and then it comes back up again. I don't understand that. But the consisting of it. If we could put it in a very simple term, consisting is life. As it comes, day by day. God, a long time ago, created everything. There it is. Just there it was. Bang, there it is, sitting there. But then when the world, it was put into motion, we're talking about the consisting, and that's how I function, how I'm walking, how I'm breathing, how I'm... You see, God created the oxygen in the air, right? But how that benefits me is another deal. And everything, every part of that, and we could never get into even one blade of grass. You know, we could have a session for the next whatever on a blade of grass and the complexities of a blade of grass. And a blade of grass is probably one of the most simplistic things compared. How does it all work together? The sun, moon, and the skies and the universe, you know, you got the bigness of the universe. And then you've got man. And I don't know if man is in the middle or not, but I'll tell you what, then you've got the small world that's bigger than the big world. And it's all there. And my question is, how does it go together? But honestly, I don't know that any of us wake up in the morning wondering about how my food is going to get assimilated into energy. But we do worry about health issues. We do worry about social issues. We do worry about financial issues. We do worry about spiritual issues. Those are not creation, those are consisting. How it all works together. My friend, can I tell you something very basic but very profound? Jesus, everybody listen. Jesus Christ is not just the creator. He is the consister. That means every single part of life is just as amazing, if not more amazing, than the creation. He is. He is the creator, and he is the consister. I don't like to even just use the word sustainer because we just think of keeping it alive. No, I like the consisting because it's how it all works together every day. Folks, we are talking about relationships. See, we don't worry about the sun rising and setting, but we do worry about going into work and talking with that coworker. We worry about it. But can I tell you, friends, that he is the God of that as well. And there's not anything in creation that is over the sustaining. I don't have to worry about my vehicle running tomorrow. I don't have to worry about it when it breaks down because it's just as much of a part of God's consisting as the creation was. As the sun rising. I don't know that my car will start tomorrow, but I can tell you it's every bit of God's perfect plan. Because he is the God of consistency. And what is involved in life is health. Some are scared about what health will bring this week. Can I tell you, my friend, if you're not concerned about the sun rising, you don't need to worry about your health this week. Because God is a consister. You don't worry about the first part of that verse. You don't worry about verse 16 because you take it as, and it's by faith. But can I submit to you, by faith you can trust God to do whatever he needs to do and wants to do in your body with your health. And the same thing is true with your finances. He's the creator, but he is the consister. He knows perfectly how to put it together. And we don't have to worry, just like you don't have to worry about the stars being in the sky at night. You don't have to worry about the money being there. You don't have to worry about it. Is he God or is he not? In the same verse, he says he's the creator and he's the consister. Why do we worry? Why don't we worry about the creation, but we worry so much about the consistence? Am I the only one that worries about the consistence? I do. But I can tell you, it's unfounded. It's unfounded. That you take part of God and trust, and you take another part of God and not trust. Just as he can create, he can sustain, and he can work together every single thing. There are no mistakes in God's world. Because he is. He is. He is. And God has been working me over this week. Because where this goes, Pastor, you said that this has to do with prayer. It does. Some of you are praying for a lot of things. You're praying for, I'm praying that God would do this, and I'm praying that God would do that, and I'm praying that God would do this. This year, we're praying. I challenged you from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 that we can boldly come before the throne of grace and lay it all on his shoulders. And at his table, there's mercies and graces abundant for everybody. And we're coming to him by faith, and we're saying, God, I need your mercy, and I need your grace to go on for all the things in health, for all the things in the finances, for all the things spiritually, for all the things socially and emotionally, and all the things that we go through. Okay, we give them to him, and we're praying, God, but I practically need your help every single day. But what do we do with that prayer? We offer them to the Lord, and then what we tend to do is worry about them every day. God, are you going to do this? Are you going to provide this? Are you going to take care of this? Will you show up? Are you going to provide? Are you going to provide, do this and do that? And we worry, worry, worry. You see, where this takes us, if we will really believe this verse, I didn't even tell you the title of my message. I'm not a catchy title person, but I titled it, Do You Believe This Verse or That Verse? But there's a reason why I asked that. Do you believe it? You remember my opening illustration? We can say we believe things. Question, do you believe that God, Jesus Christ, is the creator of the universe? Do you believe it? I think you do. Do you believe that he is the consister of the universe? That's the bigger question. Because if you really do, I know we're humans, and I'm not trying to take us out of the human element, but I'll say this, this is our battle as humans. We struggle. We don't struggle trusting his creation ability, but we struggle his consisting ability. I do. I struggle with his consisting ability. And that's why I worry. That's why I fear. That's why I doubt. That's why I struggle. And that's why I'm wrong. If we can take God by faith for creation, we can take God by faith for consisting. And where this takes us with prayer, God says to pray. God says to trust. God says to wait. It's called waiting on God. It is not easy. But that's what he's called us to do. Wait. You trust me. Just as I created, I will consist. I will make life go exactly the way I want it. Maybe not you, but the way he wants it. Do you know how much hope that gives me? If I'll take it, I don't have to worry about anything anymore because he's the consister. And I can trust him and in his time. And all I'm called to do is just wait on him. Just wait. And he will bring it to pass. So, as we close, do you believe that verse? Father, help us. Help us, Lord. We don't tend to worry about the trust with creation, but oh boy, we worry about consistency. There are people in this room this morning that are worried about work tomorrow because of the people that they're going to be facing and talking to. They're worried about the relatives that they're going to have to talk about this difficult thing with. They're worried about their relationships with people. There's no doubt in my mind that there's people in this room that are concerned about it. But God, you're the consister. You are going to work things together for good. And it might be a tough confrontation, but you're going to work it out. And we can trust you because you're the consister. Lord, there are people in this room, no doubt, that are struggling and they're having to have big faith concerning finances. And we all of us tend to worry about finances. Yet, God, we know that not only did you create, you sustain, and we don't have to worry about how you're going to take care of us. God, I pray for that individual that's so scared about their finances. God, I pray that today you would give them strength to trust in a creating God, in a sustaining God, in a consisting God. God, there are those that are concerned about health needs and they worry and fear on a daily basis about what might come, but maybe what is there. And we're scared to death about that health that's here today that might not be there tomorrow. God, I pray that you would give them faith and assurance. Just as you've created that body, you can sustain that body, and we can trust you with that in any way. And Lord, we can trust because you'll give the grace that's needed, the mercy and grace to go through anything, any time of need. God, there are people that are struggling with emotions and feelings, social needs, physical needs, financial needs, spiritual needs. God, I pray that we would learn to trust in you and rest and wait on God because you are Jehovah. I am. God, help us. Thank you for this tremendous, simple, but Lord, it will affect every single day if we will believe this verse. In Jesus' name, amen.